You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito from Island Community Church. I'm the senior pastor here of Island, along with my associate, Pastor Darren Solana. We greet you guys here and gals here today on this Thursday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Thursday with us as we together study the Word of Almighty God here on WGOD. Well, first of all, let me say this radio program is brought to you by the excellent people of Island Community Church. This is the church family helps foot the bill for this, to get this message of the gospel outside of our four walls into your cars and automobiles and here on WMIE-FM here and broadcast around the world on the radio here on 91.5 in all of Brevard County. And so wonderful ministry. It's brought many of you into our church, and we're grateful for that. And I invite you to attend one of our services. Our next one will be Sunday morning. And we're going to be looking at this woman with this spirit of divination, which actually is the Greek word pythonos, spirit of Python. We're going to look at how even demons can tell you the truth. Well, we're going to dig deep to try to find out the reason. I believe we're going to have an answer for why a demon said, listen to the Apostle Paul and listen to what he says, because they're telling you how to get saved. And that's where we're going to be. We're in Acts chapter 16, Sunday morning at 10:30. You are invited. The place, Island Community Church, the location, 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. You are invited. We would love to see you. Man, oh man, we're going to have an excellent look here at this text. We're also going to see Paul and Silas thrown in the prison for preaching Christ. We're going to look and see at what their response was to being thrown in jail, ultimately for telling people that God loves them. Because that's the crime. That crime got Jesus killed. God loves you. Man, oh man, what an offensive message that is, right? That offends and makes furious, infuriates people, the idea that God loves them. That's where we're going to be this Sunday morning. We would love to see you here on the radio today. We're in the 15th chapter of Acts. We're looking at this Jerusalem Council. We're looking at the very first time they had to get together and they had to figure out what to do about this. Acts, it says, but some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed, they rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So first it started with just circumcision. Then they added to that, because this is how this goes. When it goes to keeping rules, you start with one, and it's like multiplying rabbits. One then turns into two, not only circumcise them, but and they need to keep the law of Moses. And then two turns into four, which turns into eight, which turns into bondage again. That's why Paul wrote, it is for freedom. He wrote in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Do not be entangled again with a yoke of slavery and bondage. So they're going to address this question for the first time. That's why this famously is known as the Jerusalem Council. I think it's the last time we see the Apostle Peter in the book of Acts as well. So that's where we're at here today. On some of the other days on the radio, we're in the book of Revelation, and I think we left off at the church at Smyrna. We'll be going through those on some of the days here on WGOD. Okay, let's get into the Word. We'd love to see you on Sunday morning here at Island as we're in the 16th chapter of Acts. Here now, the 15th chapter. verse 26. Now from there, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. All right, chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren and said, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, look what it says, you cannot be saved. So there it is. Scoop, there it is. Unless you keep the law, you can't be saved. Unless you continue to keep the Old Testament law, you can't be saved. 2,000 years strong, and this is still taught today. You see, it's only Jews and Jewish wannabes who have this problem. The new covenant and faith in Christ is all that we know, right? So if I were you, I'd be very suspicious of a non-Jewish person who tries to compel you to live under somebody else's law. That's not your law, that's somebody else's law. Remember what we learned last week, where Paul said, oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness. Will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? So let's see how they address this question. Unless you are circumcised according to the Old Testament law, you cannot become a Christian and you cannot receive salvation. Verse 2. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, all right, so they argued about this. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So, being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy to all the brethren. Verse 4. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders. And they reported all things that God had done with them. Verse 5. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and, catch that word, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So, once a Pharisee, always a Pharisee, apparently, right? One commandment has now become two. You catch that? See, this is how these people work. One commandment has now become two. It started with circumcision. Now it's the word and keep the law of Moses. They just keep adding law after law and rule after rule, and it just leads a person into bondage. I mean, how many rules must a person submit to in order to be right with God? Some Jews in Israel, now, I learned this from Bill over here, who was our missionary to Israel. They waited for him to get home on Saturday to turn the light bulb off. Law after law after law after law, and you end up in bondage. When is enough enough? How many rules must a person submit to in order to be right with God? Listen to these verses out of Galatians chapter 5. Let me read them from my NIV Bible. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery.
Then he says, mark my words. I, Paul, say to you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised, he's obligated now to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law, you have been alienated from Christ, and you have fallen away from grace. This word alienated, the word means severed. The word katergeo means to make void. It means to be rendered useless. I mean, who needs Jesus when there's you around? Right? I mean, why Jesus? We got you. Yeah. See, when you start believing this way, then you got to phone up ahead and start getting three men in a truck. You know that group out there in Melbourne? And they're going to put a throne on there and they're going to bring it up to heaven to precede you before you get there. Father, Son, and Betty Birnbaum from Bakersfield. No, you're not going to have your own throne. You can't add to what Jesus did on the cross. You have fallen away from grace, he says. All right, so let's see how the very first church council went, okay? Verse 6, Acts chapter 15, verse 6. Now the apostles and elders came together to discuss this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up. Now this, I think, is the last time we see the apostle Peter in the book of Acts. When there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the back of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. It's so easy, lest we forget, right? Preach it, Peter. Verse 12, then all the multitude kept silent, and then they listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. After they became silent, James answered. James was the spiritual leader of the church in Jerusalem, Jesus' half-brother. He wrote the book of James. So James answered and said, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon, or Simeon, or Peter... Peter has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. Now he's going to quote Amos chapter 9. After this, I will return, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins. I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all of the Gentiles who were called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. Known to God from eternity are all of his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we should write them to... Okay, here comes his list. Here comes his short list to give to these Gentiles. Things that transcend covenant. Okay? They're not from the law of Moses. These are things that we still need to follow today that originated before the law of Moses. Eternal decrees which do not change. So he says to them, abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. Verse 21. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. All right, so some of these things, like verse 21 testifies, these are given so as not to offend our Jewish brethren. Paul, on the other hand, when read into the Gentiles, makes this comment about food. Paul said, every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And this, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Then he says, eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience sake. Now there's a verse hopefully I can keep if you ever invited me to your house. As long as you don't have any broccoli there that you're offering. Otherwise, me and Paul are going to part company right there. Eat whatever is set before you. Sorry. But that you wouldn't be offended by that. All right, once again, this is verse 4. These four things. Abstain from things polluted by idols. Abstain from sexual immorality. That transcends all covenants and all ages. That's not something that ends in the New Testament. You always need to do that. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This is the will of God. Your sanctification. Abstain from things strangled and from blood. These commands are greater than the law and older than the law. God told Noah a few thousand years before Moses. He said, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I've given you all things. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. That's thousands of years before Moses. That's not a law of Moses. That's much older than that. That's why he even told these Gentiles, you got to follow this. Even though Paul says we're not under the law, but under grace, you still have, this transcends the law. He said, surely your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. That's Genesis 9, 3 through 5. All right, verse 22. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who also was named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them, the apostles, elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who were of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. Sounds like a Christmas card, doesn't it? Since, this is verse 24, since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. So I would say unsettling indeed, right? I mean, imagine if I issued a list of rules you needed to keep in order not only to be right with God, but to be saved. All right, here's my short list if I was to add my own list, all right? Number one, you can only miss 4 Sundays a year from church. Well, he's traveling. I'm single. Number two, you must be baptized. Don't laugh too hard. There's more than one denomination out here that says if you're not baptized, you're not saved, because the act of baptism is what saves you. See, this is why he says this stuff's unsettling. What happens if you're like the thief on the cross and you die and you're not baptized? This stuff unsettles your souls. How about, here's a third thing I wrote on my imaginary list. You must give at least 10% of all of your money. Again, don't laugh too hard. There's a church I know in West Palm Beach, which makes their thousands of congregants sign over their paychecks to them, and they in turn take out their, let's use an old mafioso tune, let's say they take out their cut, and then give the poor saps whatever is left. Number four, you must speak in tongues. Well, they say that's the evidence of you being saved. Walking to a charismatic church, it's printed on the inside of many of the hymnals. You open it up, and they'll have in there, pasted in there. That's one of the evidences of your salvation, that you speak in an unknown tongue. Speak in tongues. And these things unsettle you. I mean, certainly you'd be unsettled, right? When you hear something like that, when the Bible says all we have to do is believe and call on the name of the Lord, then you go somewhere that someone says, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. My point is, it's the same kind of problem we're reading about today. Unless you're circumcised, unless if you keep the whole law of Moses, you can't be saved. I'm trying to show you they do this same kind of stuff today. It's all around us today. They do these same kind of things. This is why James, from this same council here, made this comment in his letter, James chapter 2, verse 1, James 3, 1 actually. He says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. When you speak for God, you better watch out. All right, verse 25. So it seemed good to us. All right, now he's back. This is the letter these guys in this council wrote. They gave the letter to Paul and Silas and Barnabas, and they sent these guys back to Antioch, which was pretty close to Jerusalem. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who also will report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these necessary things. That you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. So, it seems good to who? Who did he say? The Holy Spirit. These instructions come right from the throne. And on that note, we will say farewell as well here this morning. Here's a few things we can take home with us today. All these man-made rules and laws will unsettle your soul because it is unsettling, right? I mean, how many laws must a person keep in order to be right with God? Or how many laws must a person keep in order to receive His love? When is enough is enough? When is enough enough? And how many rules and laws are you going to add to faith in Jesus Christ? We read in the book of Romans chapter 10, it says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to those who believe, to everyone who believes. Now, don't forget Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 10. This is what he said. He said to him, that's Christ, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. Remember, that's Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him as your Lord and Savior, and you will be saved. You don't need to keep any rules. You don't need to burn one calorie to become a Christian. You need to call on the name of the Lord. And this, Galatians 5. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, stand firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. If you are going to make the decision to try to keep the Old Testament law in order to be right with God, then Jesus says, I can no longer help you anymore. There's nothing I can offer you. He says, because I'm offering you freedom from trying to keep the law in order to be right with God. He says, look to me and be saved. Paul continued, he goes, I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is now under obligation to keep the whole law. Did you catch that? If you're going to pick and choose which Old Testament laws are binding on you, then you're now obligated to keep all of the law. That's James chapter 2, verse 10. We added that to the handout. Whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at one point is guilty of the whole thing. This is why I don't understand you about these places that says law, law, Torah, Torah, Torah. We're going to study the law. You know, we need to study grace around here. Let us study grace. You know what grace is? God's riches at Christ's expense. Let's spend a couple of decades studying grace. How about that? Does that sound good to you guys? So this is the kind of teaching that got this guy stoned and got Jesus killed. So the key to understanding today, Romans 6:14. You are not under the law, but you're under grace. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of the MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. Well, today let's take a look at Pentecost. For Christians, this Jewish feast will always be associated with the events of Acts 2. That's the coming of the Holy Spirit, the beginning of the church age. And as verse 43 says, on that day, quote, many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Now, John, what exactly were those wonders and signs those apostles were performing? And can Christians still do them today?
Well, clearly they refer to miracles. Those are just words that view miracles in different ways. Wonders simply expresses the amazement that people experience when they witness supernatural events. Signs point to the power of God behind the miracle. A sign is something that points to something else. And so these are references to the miracles that the apostles did, which pointed to the power of God and the truthfulness of their message, and which generated amazement and wonder in the people. Now, those are identified clearly in 2 Corinthians 12:12 as the signs of an apostle to authenticate them as the true messengers of God. The apostolic era formed the initial revelation. It came through the apostles and associates of the apostles. They wrote it down. It became the New Testament, and no longer is there divine revelation in a direct way. So we don't have apostles. We don't have direct revelation. We don't have miracles to attest to the apostles, because we have the Word of God by which all teachers